From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Carl Castle, and here's your host at the Chase Bank Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Carl. Thank you, everybody. Good to see you. I share your excitement. Colonel Chris Hadfield, the guitar-playing, tweeting space station commander, will join us to play Not My Job. But before we begin, a quick word about Rob Ford, mayor of Toronto. Last week, as we discussed at length, he admitted smoking crack. This week, we learned he snorted coke while eating poutine. True. And he held a press conference where he talked graphically about his sex life. Mayor Ford, speaking to you now, you got to learn a lesson about dignity from politicians to your south. And that lesson is lie. If someone asks you if you had sex with that woman, no, you were hiking the Appalachian Trail. If someone asks you if you did cocaine while eating poutine, no, you did cocaine while eating a healthy salad. It's not that hard. However, if you're not Mayor Ford, we are very interested in hearing from you. Give us a call. That's 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. It's time to welcome our first contestant. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, Peter.
Hi, who's this?
This is Karen Lazar from Oceanside, New York.
Oceanside on Long Island.
That's correct.
Oh, yes. I know a lot of people from Long Island. What do you do there?
I'm a retired educator.
Oh, really?
Yes.
And what did you teach?
I taught science, and I was an assistant principal and a science director for 33 years in the same school district that I went to as a kid.
Wow. So was this... That's impressive. Was this an elaborate plan of vengeance?
Absolutely.
That can make sense. Well, Karen, welcome to the show. Let me introduce you to our panel this week. First, it's a correspondent for CBS Sunday Morning and the host of My Grandmother's Ravioli on the Cooking Channel. It's Mo Rocca.
Hi, Karen.
Next, it's the woman behind the advice column Ask Amy and author of the memoir The Mighty Queens of Freeville. It's Amy Dickinson.
Hi, Karen.
Finally, it's a humorist and author, most recently of Alphabet Her Juice. It's Roy Blunt Jr.
Hi, Karen.
Karen, welcome to the show. You're going to start us off, of course, with Who's Carl this time. Carl Castle will recreate for you three quotations in the week's news. Your job, of course, explain or identify that. You ready to play?
Yes.
Let's do it. Here's your first quote. It is from the President of these United States.
The way that I put forward unequivocally ended up not being accurate.
That was the President's way of saying, oops, about the implementation of what program?
Obamacare.
Yes, indeed. The Affordable Care Act. Very good. 6 weeks after Obamacare's launch, millions of people have had their health insurance canceled, and hardly anybody can sign up for new insurance on these exchanges. So the president came out, apologized, and announced a change in the law. It's such a screw-up. At this point, Americans are done hoping for Obama to bring change you can believe in. Now it's like, look, just don't touch anything. According to the latest numbers, fewer than 27,000 people across the country have signed up for Obamacare using the federalhealthcare.gov website. Somewhere, people who still use Microsoft Zunes said, hey, we've got them outnumbered.
Wait, so how many people has it been? How many?
Around 27,000.
Geez, so those people made it through the system. They're like IT geniuses.
They really are.
We should hire them to fix the website.
Because they figured it out.
I know it depends on, as I said, depends on younger people registering, right, to make the program work.
Right.
And the state that had the most people sign up on the national plan is Florida.
It's not looking good.
Well, I live in Massachusetts, and yeah. I recall that Romney Care rolled out very slowly as well. I just saw a graph to that effect. And nobody yelled and hollered, I think, just because there's no point in yelling and hollering at Romney. I don't think he hears.
Well, did you?
Can I just say, I'm just listening to. I wish that Roy was my country doctor.
I know.
Just listening to you right now, I want to imagine like a healthcare plan that like pays for you to come over and
you
just...
want to be sick.
That involves Roy. Yeah,
I bet Roy would be comforting good. Even if he was delivering really bad news.
Mm. You know, Roy cares.
Really bad babies. You know.
Yeah.
Here we've got. Well, your baby is kind of ugly, but.
It still sounds great.
Yeah, that's right.
All right. Oh. All right, Karen. Here's your next quote.
Okay.
I think we made Karen sick. I hope she's covered.
Here we go, Karen. If it looks like an antenna, acts like an antenna, then guess what? It is an antenna.
That was Chicago Mayor Rahm Emanuel complaining this week after New York's One World Trade Center was named what?
The tallest building in the United States.
You're exactly right. Mm-hmm. The tallest building in the country. The Height Committee, the Height Committee of the Council on Tall Buildings and Urban Habitats, which now comes off the list of things you didn't think actually existed, has determined that the new One World Trade Center building in New York is taller than Chicago's Willis Tower, used to be the Sears Tower, and thus the tallest building in the country. Well, you'd think this question would be easy to resolve. Go to the top of each building, right? Throw a penny off, hit somebody in the head, see who it hurts more. Right? But at One World Trade Center, this is the problem. The antenna on top of the building is considered to be a, quote, sculptural element of the structure, so it counts toward the height. Thus, it beats the Sears Tower. Right. You know what? The sculptural antenna is the comb-over of architecture. All right? What are you hiding?
It's like wearing lifts, right?
Exactly.
My father was chairman of the building committee of the Decatur First Methodist Church. When we built the church, that turned out the cross was 2 feet higher than the Baptist church. But
oh, coincidence?
We didn't gloat.
No.
No.
You just said said God likes us more. We're
That's
closer
right.
to him.
Jesus wanted us to do it, and we did. But.
All right, Karen, your last quote is an ominous warning from the Postmaster General.
Customers can expect the same reliable and valued service that the Postal Service currently provides.
He was now referring to the news that thanks to the Postal Service, some Amazon customers are now able to get mail when?
On Sunday.
On Sunday, or Sunday, 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 as they say. Amazon is teaming up with the struggling U.S. Postal Service to provide Sunday delivery of packages. It's amazing a huge internet company is coming in to save a government program, and it is not Obamacare. The Postal Service has been hemorrhaging money for years, as Americans have stopped using stamps for anything they need to lick LSD off of. And coming to save the Postal Service, maybe, is Amazon. The problem is, we don't send letters anymore, right? But we Americans simply cannot wait an extra day to get our 8-piece mustache grooming kit.
Yeah. Wait, those of us that have a post office
and don't have
personal delivery, what happens to us?
I don't know. And frankly, I don't care. Why do you live that way anyway? Well, when you order a package from Amazon, how does it come? Does it come to your house?
It ends up going to the post office where Donna...
your local post lady.
Who's listening.
She may be, but she will shake it and sniff it, and sometimes she'll open it. Mm. And she'll let me know, give me a call, and tell me
that's
what's in
security.
There.
Mm.
Really?
Security.
She'd say, oh, yeah, Amy, some Intimate Feminine products arrived. Carl, how did Karen do in our quiz?
Karen, you had 3 correct answers, so I'll be doing the voice on your voicemail or home answering machine.
Yay!
Well done! Yay. Thank you so much.
Bye bye,
Karen.
Bye-bye.
Right now, panel, time for you to answer some questions about this week's news. Mo, the Winter Olympic Games are coming to Russia, and in an attempt to get its citizens in better shape, Russian subway rides can now be purchased with what?
To get them better in shape, Russian subway rides can now be purchased. I mean, they can't be purchased because they want people walking.
No, you can still go on the... Subway.
Subway.
But in certain places, you don't have to use money. You can do something else.
You have to exercise.
Yes, you have to exercise to use the subway.
Okay.
Specifically, you have to do squats, right? Squats.
Squats?
When the world comes to visit them for the Winter Olympics, just a few months, Russia doesn't want to look like a bunch of fat homophobes. They want to look like... No.
They want to look like trim...
Right, they want to look like trim, fit homophobes. Yeah, yeah. Either spend 30 rubles to get on the train, that's the usual affair, or you can do 30 squats in front of a special machine with a camera and a computer that secretly thinks you're disgusting. Since implementing the program, Russia has already seen a 2% decrease in average BMI and a 100% increase in guys showing up to work having just split their pants. Yeah. I don't know if this is going to work, because the subway is really one place you do not want to see anybody squatting.
No.
I know. I actually love squats. Yeah, I think that, like, I've oftentimes thought if I was trapped in a place where I could only do one exercise. No, I have thought about this. Like, if you could only do one movement or exercise, I would do squats because it's all about core strength. But it's all about engaging your glutes and lifting from there.
Oh, my God.
But it's the one thing I do. I don't know why I would be forced to only do one exercise. What is the scenario? Somebody's saying you may only do one exercise.
It involves a phone booth and you, obviously.
And I'd hold a coconut and I'd squat.
From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Carl Castle. We're playing this week with Roy Blunt Jr., Amy Dickinson, and Mo Rocca. And here again is your host at the Chase Bank Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Carl. Thank you so much. Right now it's time for the Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me Bluff the Listener Game. Call 1-888-WAIT-WAIT to play our game in the air. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, this is George Stroker from Lemoore, California.
George from Lemoore, California?
Yes.
Now, I've been around California, but I've never been to Lemoore. Where is that?
It's about a 45-minute ride south of Fresno.
Oh.
Is it named after Dorothy Lemoore?
I couldn't tell you. I just got here.
Really?
Have you unpacked yet?
Yeah.
Are you fleeing somebody? Should you not be mentioning your location on the air?
No, we can talk about that.
All right. Well, George, welcome to the show. You're going to play the game in which you must try to tell truth from fiction. Carl, what is George's topic?
Company, halt!
As Madeleine Albright once said, what's the point of having an army if you can't use it? Sometimes having a big standing army just proves too much of a temptation, even if you don't happen to have a war zone to play in. Each of our panelists are going to tell you three stories about the military used in a non-military way. Your job, pick the real story. First up, let's hear from Amy Dickinson.
Picture the scene at Best Buy on Black Friday. Now, wouldn't it be awesome if President Obama sent soldiers into Best Buy with automatic weapons and basically encouraged low prices at gunpoint? Well, this awesome thing is happening in Venezuela. Times have been tough there lately. They're running out of staples like chicken and toilet paper, and inflation is over 50%. So last weekend, their president, Nicolas Maduro, took matters into his own militia and ordered the army to occupy a popular chain of electronics stores, the Venezuelan Best Buy, forcing the stores to offer deep discounts. Prices so low, they had to be delivered on the point of a bayonet. The president went on state television to explain his unusual magnum force economic policy. He said, "This is good for the nation. Leave nothing on the shelves, nothing in the warehouses, nothing. Let nothing remain in stock." In other words, holy Santa Claus, Venezuela, it's insane.
The Venezuelan army cutting prices at their local electronics retailer. Your next story of the armed forces making a surprise appearance comes from Roy Blunt, Jr.
Mabuku Matobi, son of Swaziland's president, was a ne'er-do-well. His playboy escapades had become so egregious that his father, Abate Matobi, canceled Mabuku's allowance and forswore responsibility for his debts. It was time for Mabuku to get a job. He did come up with a project, an epic film depicting the sweep of Swaziland history. It would need financing, of course. Nice try, said Dad. No money. Okay, said the son, no money. Just lend me the army for a week. Which was probably not enough time, as it turned out, to produce a blockbuster. The cast of thousands battle scenes were spirited but baffling, partly because both sides wore the same uniform. Nothing really worked in Mabuku's movie except for the love scenes between Mabuku, playing himself, and Ngala Ombala, a stunningly beautiful machine gunner whose performance earned her a modeling contract. Last week, the two of them were reported in exile on the Côte d'Azur, recasting the whole story as a romantic comedy. Tentative title, Rat-a-tat-tat.
The son of an African president borrows the army to make a movie, ends up with a rom-com. Your last story about a military intervention of fun comes from Mo Rocca.
Luxembourg's Air Force has not seen combat since its 1824 border war with Moldavia, which is why the force itself is virtually unchanged. It's still Europe's only all-hot air balloon air force. Colorful, yes, but very expensive to maintain. It's also very expensive to deliver pizza in Luxembourg, a country almost entirely populated by castles atop hills. Quote, the distances are so far, it simply makes no sense to spend so much in petrol for the delivery of one lousy pie, says Luxembourg Papa John's branch manager Rolf Gruber. If only we had a mode of pizza delivery with a less expensive fuel source. Which is why the Luxembourg Air Force is now sponsored by Papa John's. Pizzas are now delivered by Luxembourg military, and they stay hot. Quote, it's so nice to receive my pizza up in my turret and not have to lower my drawbridge, says customer Baroness Elsa Schrader. And so I say to my fellow Luxembourgians, support our troops and call Papa John's today.
All right. One of these stories is true. Is it from Amy Dickinson, how the president of Venezuela sent in his army to lower the prices at the local electronics retailer? From Roy Blunt Jr., how the son of an African president borrowed the army to make a film? Or from Mo Rocca, how the Air Force of Luxembourg was used to deliver pizzas to those castles high up on hilltops?
I am going to say that it's going to be the Venezuelan military.
The Venezuelan military is your choice. That's Amy's story. Well, to bring you the truth, we spoke to somebody who knew about the real story.
Yeah, I don't want to see M16s pointed at me when I go to get my refrigerator or washer dryer.
That was Douglas Ernst. He's a digital contributor to the Washington Times, talking about the Venezuelan army's enforced low prices. Congratulations, you earned a point for Amy Dickinson. Just for being honest, you've won our prize. Carl, we'll be doing the voice on your voicemail. Thanks so much for playing.
Hooray!
Hooray!
Thank you very much. Oliver's Army is here to stay. Oliver's Army are on their way. And I would rather be anywhere else but today.
And now the game where we bring somebody who's flown high back to Earth with a thump. It's called Not My Job. There have been many astronauts over the decades, but only one of them recorded a hit music video on the International Space Station. That would be Commander Chris Hadfield's version of David Bowie's Space Oddity. And we're not even mentioning his tweets and blog posts from orbit, which made him the de facto ambassador from outer space. Mm. He's back on this planet. We're delighted to have him with us. Commander Hadfield, welcome to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Thank you very much.
So let's get right to it. You're a Canadian national hero, being born in Canada, a Canadian Air Force pilot before you went up to the space station. And how does it feel to have your star as Canada's most important hero taken away by Mayor Rob Ford?
Mm. Yeah, that's kind of an embarrassing thing for Canada right now. We all apologize.
Of course you do. We had no doubt. We took it as a given. But Don't you at the same time feel a little bit of pride in that you must know the stereotype of Canadians? And now we've got this guy. Don't you think it adds a little to your cachet?
We were trying to compete with Charlie Sheen.
Yes.
Oh, good. You already have the counter. That's great. Yeah. Is it true that in Canada the government pays for your crack?
No, but it's a tax write-off.
Now, back to you. You grew up on a farm in Canada, yes?
I did. I grew up on a corn farm.
And you wanted to be an astronaut from a very early age.
Yeah, I decided to be an astronaut when I watched Neil and Buzz walk on the moon when I was 9 years old.
And for most people, that would be a difficult dream. You were a Canadian farm kid. Canada didn't even have a space program.
Yeah, that was a bit of an obstacle.
Yeah. And did anybody sit you down and say, Chris, this is Canada. We're blowing all our money in healthcare for everybody. We don't have rocket ships. One of the things that I find so impressive about your story is that there were all these impossible odds against you. I mean, for example, you figured out the only way you'd ever get to be an astronaut was become a fighter pilot, so you had to become a fighter pilot, and the chances of being a fighter pilot were very small. So you just kept at it and succeeded, which I find intimidating and a little annoying.
Yeah, I remember the day when I was a recruit in the Air Force, and they said, how many of you people want to fly the new fighter? There were about 500 in the room. Almost everybody put up their hand, and eventually only two of us did. So you're right. Mm-hmm. It was a real long shot. And then becoming an astronaut was even a bigger long shot. But I figured, hey, that morning it had been impossible to walk on the moon. And now people have done that. So right. I was willing to give it a try.
Hey, can I ask, what did you do to the other 498 people?
I snuck to the front of the line.
One of the things that you write about in your book, which is sort of life lessons from your career, is you talk about preparation and how carefully and methodically you prepared. And there's this story you tell to illustrate it about an Elton John concert.
Yes, I was flying airplanes in air shows in Canada, and the organizers of the air show noticed that Elton John was flying in that day to do a concert in Windsor, Ontario, and they somehow thought they would parlay my small fame into them all meeting Elton John, and I thought the odds were extremely small, but they were convinced that we were going to meet Elton John, and so here's how a guy who started out as a 9-year-old farm kid views things. I went, okay, what's the worst thing that could happen? Worst thing that could happen would be I meet Elton John, and Elton John and I are talking, and he finds out that not only am I an astronaut, but maybe he loves astronauts, and he wants the astronaut to come up on stage with him. What would be the only thing that might happen if he finds out an astronaut who's up on stage with him plays guitar? What song could they possibly play together? It would be Rocket Man.
Right. So, following you so far.
So that afternoon I sat down to learn Rocket Man.
Wow.
So you didn't know at that point that you would meet Elton John, but
no.
You just gamed it out to where he was inviting you to play Rocket Man, so you wanted to be able to play Rocket Man on the guitar.
And what happened was we did actually meet Elton John and spent a long time talking to him. That turned out to be a really nice guy, but fortunately for both of us, I never ended up on stage, never played Rocket Man with him, but my whole life I've been getting ready to play Rocket Man, and sometimes it works out for the best.
You actually, I want to talk a little bit about the video, which is you, of course, playing and singing Space Oddity, the David Bowie song, which most people think of as Major Tom, up there on the space station.
That was my son's idea. He kind of goaded me into it, and I didn't even want to play the song because it's kind of a weird psychedelic 60s song, and at the end of it, the astronaut dies.
Yeah, I noticed that. Did you change the lyrics so that you don't die?
I made a deal with my son that if he would rewrite the lyrics so that the astronaut doesn't die, then I would record the song for him, and I did, and it sort of took off from there.
It sure did. I want to talk to you a little bit more about this preparation. Is there anything, did you ever have an early experience where you weren't prepared, and you were like, I'm never going to let that happen again?
Yes, I did a few times. One time was actually at a party. I was retiring or leaving a flying squadron. I was going to go and become a test pilot. And for whatever reason, I hadn't thought about the fact that I was going to have to make a little speech, and I was caught short, and I didn't know the right words to say, and I resolved I would never be caught that way again. And so I made up a rule on how it is that you give a speech when you're caught flat-footed. The first thing you do is you thank somebody. It doesn't matter who. You thank the person who handed you the microphone. You thank your mother. You thank your parents. You just start thanking people randomly. And then after you've thanked a few people, if you still haven't thought of something to say, then talk about the weather.
Really?
And so I gave this advice to a 10-year-old boy, And here's how he used it. He stood up and he went into his little speech and he said, okay, well, I'd like to thank the principal and I'd like to thank my mom and dad. And how about this heat? And so a little 10-year-old boy brought the house down with how to give a speech. Ooh. And since then, it's worked for me every time.
Really? Well, thank you so much, Chris Hadfield. And boy, it is warm today, isn't it?
I've got a question about preparation, and it's about the lady astronaut with the diaper, that incident a few years ago. Do you wear diapers or what?
We don't usually wear them when we're driving interstate. No.
So when you, Chris Hadfield, are going to confront your boyfriend's wife, how do you prepare?
you thank a lot of people, and then you.
Well, Chris Hadfield, we are delighted to talk to you. Today we have asked you here to play a game we're calling
I Am Sitting in a Tin Can Far Above the Moon.
So you're famous, well, not for a lot of things, but most recently for singing about Major Tom in Orbit. But what do you know about minor Toms, the less famous Toms of the world? Get 2 out of 3 questions right about minor Toms. You will win our prize for one of our listeners, Major Carl's voice on their voicemail. Carl, who is Commander Hadfield playing for?
He's playing for Nick Gordon of Agawam, Massachusetts.
All right, you ready to do this?
I am ready.
All right, here we go. Your first minor Tom is one Thomas Correa, Esquire. He's in Dallas, Texas. He made the news when he was evicted from his law office and then did what? A, opened the first ever taco and legal advice truck on the streets of Dallas. B, moved back into the basement of his parents' law firm. Or C, drew crude graffiti of the male anatomy on every wall of his law firm's building.
I'm going to go with graffiti.
You're right. He graffitied the entire building. Very legal thing to do. Your next minor Tom is one Tommy Mattinson of Northern England. He's one of the world's most obscure world champions. What is he the champion of? A, he's the current champion of human dressage, where people ride other people.
Oh, no.
Oh, gosh. Oh. Prance about. B, he's the reigning gurning champion. That's a competition for who can make the ugliest face. Ooh. Or C, he's the world's best alphabet burper, with a record of 174 letters in one burp.
Wow. You could really do all three at once. If you...
I just like the idea of number of letters you can burp. I'm going to go with burping.
You're going to go with burping. As well you might, but it was actually gurning, making faces.
Gurning.
Tommy Mattinson is a 15-time world champion gurner. Your next minor, Tom, is known only as Tom the Diver, and he claims what special aquatic talent? A, he invented underwater makeup to, quote, make manatees less homely. B, he hypnotizes sharks by massaging their noses. Or C, he is the first person to successfully saddle a seahorse. So,
what did he do to the seahorse?
He saddled it.
Aren't they little?
I didn't say he rode it. I said he saddled it.
A very small saddle, so it's so absurd, I'm going to guess hypnotizing sharks.
And you're right!
Hey.
That's what Tom the Diver claims he can do. Don't try that at home or in the pool. Carl, how did Colonel Hadfield do?
He had 2 correct answers, Peter, so he wins for Nick Gordon.
Well done, Yay. Colonel. Yay. One more mission successfully completed. Colonel Chris Hadfield most recently served as commander of the International Space Station. His new book, An Astronaut's Guide to Life on Earth, is out now. Colonel Hadfield, thank you so much for joining us. What a pleasure to talk to you. Take care.
From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Carl Castle. We're playing this week with Amy Dickinson, Mo Rocca, and Roy Blunt Jr. And here again is your host at the Chase Bank Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Carl. in just a minute. Eddie Murphy gets frustrated with Carl because he wants to party all the rhyme, party all the rhyme. It's a listener limerick challenge. If you'd like to play, give us a call at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. Right now, panel, some more questions for you from the week's news. Mo, the new Xbox comes out next week, and everybody is excited about its new infrared camera that can capture a gamer's image and motion, even in the dark. Early testers have noticed one issue, though. It can see your what?
Your privates,
yes,
probably.
Indeed, yeah. Yes. Your little joystick. The
Boy.
The Xbox One is a technical marvel.
The Xbox can see your Wii.
So the Xbox One is a technical marvel, and one that will showcase your own technical marvel for the world to see. Whether you play Tetris with a weird squiggly piece or a long straight piece, the infrared camera... No, the way it works is this camera is so precise that it can actually see through your clothes, and you can see the results.
God.
You look up, and if you look at the image, it's like your naked self on the screen. Well, this may seem like a huge flaw, or if we're being honest, an average-sized flaw. But gamers, video game enthusiasts can now say, in fact, somebody has seen you naked.
Oh, yeah.
It's like getting x-ray then.
It's a little bit. Well, not quite. I mean, it's not like, it doesn't show your bones.
Well. Speak for yourself.
Amy, Senator Rand Paul has sounded the warning. The federal government is coming to take away our God-given what?
Oh, our... What would they be taking? Is it a kind of food?
It
trans
is.
Trans fats.
But trans fats, and so it's
bacon.
Because of the trans fats, not bacon.
Not my bacon.
No.
To get your paws off my bacon. Our.
I'll give a hint.
Okay.
It has a hole in it.
Not, no.
No.
Not my donuts.
Yes, your donuts.
No.
Senator Rand Paul says the federal government's going to come take our donuts. The FDA recently banned... trans fats, a particularly noxious kind of food product. And Senator Paul said that meant jackbooted thugs would be grabbing the donuts from us. You know, and of course it was met with the cry, they'll pry our donuts from our fat, dead hands, which they could do as soon as next January, because we eat a lot of donuts. The trick is, most donuts don't have trans fats. Dunkin' Donuts don't have them. Krispy Kreme doesn't have them.
Huh. I just had to say, sitting next to Amy, how she reacted with such horror. I'm imagining Amy Dickinson in Not Without My Donut.
It's a Lifetime movie, right?
It really is. Roy, a Spanish tech company has invented a new device to help parents keep tabs on their babies. What is it?
A new device for keeping tabs on their babies.
Yeah.
Not literal tabs, like things you stick on the baby.
Right.
Yeah. For organizing them, that's great.
Oh, I'm flipping through my babies.
Yes.
Well, it's like...
You don't, you don't have to pick them up and smell them anymore. Now you'll find out electronically.
Oh. So is that a sensor that recognizes when they're...
Yes.
Nappies are soiled.
Yes, exactly. It is, in fact, a smart diaper.
Ah.
A smart diaper is a diaper that's gone to Harvard.
Ooh.
So it soaks up what baby leaves behind, but now it's totally insufferable about
it. So what happens? It makes an announcement? Or what
well, what it does is it's a device. It's called, in Spanish, siempre sucos, or always dry. And it has a sensor, and it's in the diaper. And it wirelessly connects to a bracelet worn by the parents. So when the diaper is full, it signals that says, excuse me, but the baby has successfully completed a digestive cycle, as it is wont to do.
I would just like to say that was not me.
I know, Amy, seriously.
Honestly.
Like, I think you need an advice column to yourself on that one.
People out there in Radio Land do not know who is making that noise. It wasn't me.
Roy, Dutch researchers have discovered that one word might be the last remnant of the first human language, a word that everybody understands no matter where they're from or what language they speak. What is that word?
Huh?
Exactly right.
Ah!
Huh? Great news. Wherever you go, whatever remote island you're on, you'll be able to let the natives know you have no idea what they're saying.
Mm-hmm.
According to the researchers, the 10 different languages they studied all had a word that sounded like, huh? indicating confusion or incomprehension. Weirdly, the other word that everybody understood was twerking.
You could spell huh with an N in there, a little nasal, huh. H-U-N-H.
Huh? Ooh, so maybe it was Attila the huh?
Yeah. I'm just imagining, you know, showing off the first cave paintings, and the other guy goes, huh.
And there's
I like now it sounds like you're twerking.
That's about as close as I get.
Coming up, it's Lightning Fill in the Blank, but at first it's the game where, of course, you listen for the rhyme. If you'd like to play on air, call to leave a message at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. Or click the Contact Us link on our website, waitwait.npr.org. There you can find out about attending our weekly live shows right here at the Chase Bank Auditorium in Chicago and our big show in Memphis on December 19th. You can also check out the latest How to Do Everything podcast. This week, we tell you how to play North Korean basketball, Dennis Rodman style. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, it's Bettina Castle from Goddard, Kansas.
Bettina Castle?
Yeah.
What a distinguished family name.
Yes, very much so. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Bettina, let me ask you something, and I want you to give me a straight answer. Have you ever lied about being related to Carl to gain advantage?
All the time.
I bet. Welcome to the show, Bettina. Carl Castle will now perform for you three news-related limericks with the last word missing from each. If you can fill in that last word or phrase correctly into the limericks, you'll be a big winner. Ready to play?
Yeah.
Here is your first limerick.
For tasty-filled Jewish kaddishes, the timing is simply kvicious. Supplies are all ganaka right before Hanukkah. It seems we run out of...
Kanishes.
Yes, kanishes. Oh, no. Oy gevalt, a fire at the famed Gabila's Kanishes factory in Long Island has caused a national Kanish shortage of Kanepic proportions, thereby threatening to ruin the first Thanksgivica in 125 years. Jewish grandmothers will have to pretend to make something else from scratch. Anyway, the gefilte fish factory is just fine, proving once and for all that God hates us.
New York has the tallest Kanishes.
That's true. Here is your next limerick.
My psychiatrist gladly agrees that Blue Stilton sets monsters at ease, but smooth triple creams give nightmarish dreams. My sleep is affected by...
Creams?
Not creams.
Right. Can you say it one more time?
I think you can.
Okay.
My psychiatrist gladly agrees that Blue Stilton sets monsters at ease, but smooth triple creams give nightmarish dreams. My sleep is affected by...
Say.
Say.
No.
Smile, and say...
It rhymes with the first two lines.
Rhymes with agrees, it rhymes with ease.
Hello.
I'll give it to you. It's cheese, you see. Cheese. According to British folklore, eating cheese before bed gives you nightmares, right?
Oh.
The British Cheese Board looked into this and found cheese does, in fact, affect your dreams. Swiss cheese, for instance, gives you that dream where you're standing at the front of class naked, afraid everyone can see your holes. All right, but this is still fine. You can still win it by getting this third one. Here we go.
Because parents are always judgmental, the holiday season's not gentle. I will pose as your mate for a really good rate. I'm a boyfriend, but only a...
Rental.
Hey. Yes!
Hey. That's hysterical.
A new service is helping single women in China rent boyfriends for the holidays. For just $80 to $1,300 a day, women won't have to show up to holiday parties alone. Now they can bring a rental boyfriend. He looks in every way like a real boyfriend, except for the small sticker on his butt that says Enterprise. Carl, how did Bettina do?
Bettina had two correct answers, Peter, so she wins our prize.
Well done, Bettina. Thank you so much. Thanks for playing.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Now on to our final game, Lightning Fill in the Blank. Each of our players has 60 seconds now to answer as many fill-in-the-blank questions as he or she can. Each correct answer now worth 2 points. Carl, can you give us the scores?
We have a tie for first place. Roy Blunt Jr. has 3 points. Amy Dickinson has 3 points.
What?
And Mo Rocca has 2.
All right. So, Mo, you are in third place. Mo, you will go first. Here we go. The clock will start when I begin your first question. Fill in the blank. On Thursday, ships with international aid for the victims of the typhoon in the blanks finally began arriving.
Philippines.
Right. According to a UN report released this week, blank has virtually stopped its nuclear expansion since its new president took office.
Iran.
Right. On Thursday, a judge sentenced notorious Boston gangster blank to 2 consecutive life sentences plus 5 years.
Whitey Bulger.
Right. This week, the Department of Justice okayed the merger between U.S. Airways and blank.
American Airlines.
Right. Very good. Georgia police suspected a woman they were arresting might be drunk when she blanked.
Threw up on them.
No, when she attempted to put a cheeseburger on her foot as if it were a sandal. Not satisfied with ABC's apologies, this week the government of China demanded that ABC take action for a joke made on blank's late-night show.
Jimmy Kimmel.
Right. This week a rescue dog named Rupee became the first dog ever to climb blank.
Mount Everest.
Right. A shoplifter in England was forced to give up his stolen merchandise when he was chased down by a blank.
Ooh. By a hare, a rabbit.
No, he was chased down by a marathon runner. The thief took off with the goods, but didn't realize the man chasing him was one Chris Reed, runner of 101 marathons. Reed ran alongside the shoplifter and said, quote, "We can do this all day."
Fantastic.
Gotta love that. Reading he absolutely could not do that all day. The thief quickly handed over his loot and gave up a life of crime for a life of dry heaving. Carl, how did Mo do in our quiz?
Mo had 6 correct answers for 12 more points. He now has 14 points, and Mo has taken
that
the lead.
That was very strong.
Wow.
That was very good.
Oh, that was good.
All right. We flipped a coin. Roy has elected to go next. So, Roy, fill in the blank. On Wednesday, Hawaii's governor signed a bill making it the 15th state to legalize blank.
Gay marriage.
Right. The 2 Secret Service supervisors who are on protective detail for blank were suspended for misconduct this week.
For Obama.
Right. The Wall Street Journal reported this week that the photo messaging service Snapchat turned down a $3 billion acquisition offer from blank.
Yahoo?
No, Facebook.
Facebook.
Walmart, Kmart, and Target are among the stores that announced that this year they will be starting their Black Friday sales on blank.
Thursday.
Right. Thanksgiving. A Florida man was arrested for calling 911 to report blank.
400 different things like that happen in every county in Florida every day.
That's true.
He called 911 to report that he had just realized that he lived in Florida. And he was scared to death.
No, he called 911 to report that his no-good neighbors wouldn't wish him happy birthday.
Aww.
A Canadian actress was sentenced to 6 months in jail on Thursday for stalking actor blank.
Oh, Alec Baldwin.
Right. Events at the closing night of the Andy Kaufman Award Contest Monday have led to speculation that Andy Kaufman is blank.
Alive.
Right. After neighbors in Sweden reported screaming, loud banging, and crying in the apartment next door, cops arrived in the scene and discovered blank.
They were throwing pancakes at each other.
No. Police discovered a couple trying to assemble IKEA furniture.
It's a great story. It's a great story.
The young couple was trying in vain to assemble some furniture, and the angry screaming and loud banging that is required to do so alerted the neighbors. From what they heard, bystanders guessed that they had purchased the classic IKEA "Die, Die, Die" bookshelf. Carl, how did Roy do in our quiz?
Roy has 5 correct answers for 10 more points. He now has 17 points, and Roy has taken the lead.
All right. Very strong performances so far. So how many, then, does Amy need to win?
5 to tie, and 6 to win outright.
Amy, this is for the game Fill in the Blank. On Monday, events in honor of blank were held across the country.
Veterans Day.
Right. CBS announced Wednesday that it is conducting a journalistic review into the false report on Benghazi aired by blank.
60 Minutes.
Right. An exhibition of Titanic artifacts in Atlanta was temporarily closed this week due to blank.
It sank without a trace.
Well, it was closed due to water damage. In an event held last Saturday night, Miss Venezuela was crowned the new blank.
Miss Universe.
Yes, this week the movie This Is the End became the last movie ever rented by former retailer blank.
Blockbuster.
Right. A pair of would-be burglars in L.A. realized they'd made a terrible mistake when they broke into a house belonging to blank.
Ooh, in L.A., Jean-Claude Van Damme.
No, they broke into a house belonging to a professional axe thrower.
Ooh.
Mistake number one for the burglars, breaking into a professional axe thrower's house. Mistake number two, trying to steal the professional axe thrower's watch that she was wearing while she slept. Robin Irvine woke up and immediately went for her bedside axe. She took off after the screaming burglars, thinking one thought. Finally. Carl, did Amy do well enough to win?
She needed 5 to tie, but she had 4 correct answers. So, with 17 points, Roy Blunt Jr. is this week's champion.
Well done, Roy. In just a minute, we're going to ask our panelists to predict what would be the first thing delivered by the post office on a Sunday. But first, let me tell you that support for our Chicago shows is provided by Hyatt Hotels in downtown Chicago. Booking information is at Hyatt.com. Support for NPR comes from NPR stations and Carbonite, providing automatic cloud backup solutions for individuals and small businesses. Learn more at Carbonite.com. Esurance, insurance for the modern world, offering online and mobile car insurance tools to guide customers from quote to claim, esurance.com. The National Association of Realtors, an advocate for home ownership, more at houselogic.com/homeownership. And Kobo, with the Aura e-reader, featuring an edge-to-edge, low-glare pearl e-ink screen, available now at independent bookstores, indiebound.org. Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is a production of NPR and WBEZ Chicago, in association with Urgent Haircut Productions, Doug Berman, Benevolent Overlord. Philip Godica writes our limericks, our house manager is Don Hall, our assistant house manager is Tyler Green, our intern is Steven, my friends call me Toby Tobias, our web guru is Beth Novi, engineers include Lester Larchik and Muhammad Mao. Thanks to John Zajac here at Chase Bank, BJ Lederman composed our theme. Our program is produced by Eva Walchover, Miles Dernboss, and Emily Ecton. Technical direction is from Lorna White. Andy Yen is our CFO. Our production coordinator is Robert Newhouse. Our senior producer over there is Ian Chillog, and over here in this corner, the executive producer of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, Mr. Michael Danforth. Now, panel, what will be delivered by the post office first on Sunday? Mo Rocca.
A communion wafer for a guy who's too lazy to walk to church.
Amy Dickinson.
Well, I hope it's my Cheese of the Month Club delivery because November is Gouda.
And Roy Blunt Jr.
My great uncle Farley was a very religious man. In 1954, his ashes were lost in the mail. It would be just like my great uncle Farley to turn up as the first thing delivered in the Sunday mail.
Aww. Hope so. Well,
if any of those things get delivered on Sunday, panel, we'll ask you about it on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Thank you, Carol Castle. Thanks also to Mo Rocca, Amy Dickinson, and Roy Blunt Jr. Thanks to all of you for listening. I'm Peter Sagal, and we'll see you next week. This is NPR.